You can turn with me in God's Word to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, reading verse 1 down to verse 10. We're looking at Christ's linen clothes and the napkin. And again, this is another one of those object lessons to teach a spiritual truth. And nothing in the Bible is there by accident or just there for the sake of being there. It's there for a reason. Therefore, our instruction to learn a lesson. So John chapter 20, reading at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away on to their own home. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer and ask the Lord to give us help at this time. Father in heaven, we thank thee all that has been done this day already. We believe, O God, we have sought to exalt thy name. We thank thee, O God, Christ is alive. We praise thee, O God, this day, and he's here, and that to bless us. We pray, O God, thou wilt write thy word upon our heart. For his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
On the third day after Christ had died on the cross, it was now the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Now we know from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and taking the other Gospels together, there were other women present at the tomb, but John, he focuses on Mary Magdalene. It was early in the morning, and Mary had seen that the stone was rolled away from the sepulchre or the tomb. Luke records in his account, in Luke chapter 24, of the angel's message at this time, He is not here, he is risen. Mary then runs to the disciples, and then she comes to Peter and John and says to them, They have taken away my Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Upon hearing Mary's words, Peter and John both ran together to the tomb to see with their own eyes what Mary had stated concerning the absence of Christ's body in the tomb. When they reached the tomb, John first entered and then Peter. Straight away, they see that Christ's body is not there. But what they did see in this empty tomb were his burial clothes or his grave clothes. These clothes we have read about here, they were the linen wrappings that were put around the body of Christ. And then the linen napkin that had been wrapped around the head, the face of Christ. Remember, after the death of Christ, Joseph of Arimathea, out of courage, he came and asked Pilate for the body of Christ to prepare it for burial. Because this was the Jewish custom, the Jewish way to bury their dead. We read that in John chapter 19, verses 39 through to 40. That Joseph and Nicodemus, they brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, £100 weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wounded or wrapped it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. The Jews normally wrap the dead person's body in this linen mixed with these spices. The body was wrapped up to the shoulders. And then separately, they wrapped the head with a faith cloth or a napkin to cover the complete, the entire head. You remember we see this in John chapter 11. Whenever Christ brought Lazarus from the tomb, there he was dead in that tomb, and the Lord said, come forth. Well, we read in John chapter 11, verse 44, that he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And so there you have the same picture when it comes to the death of Lazarus, the wrapping, and now coming to the Saviour. This was the Jewish form of burial. Once Christ was placed in the tomb, the stone was rolled over the entrance. It was then sealed securely by a Roman seal and extra guards to put on watch so that no one would get in and that the Saviour would not come out. However, every human attempt to catch the resurrection, to see it take place, or to stop the resurrection from taking place as Christ said he would, it all failed, because we learn Christ arose as he said. Mary, John, and Peter, they came and they seen the stone was rolled away from the door. Christ's body was not in the tomb. And therefore the conclusion scripturally is Christ is risen from the dead. The very fact that the stone was rolled away from the door was not to let Jesus out, because he had already risen. Rather, it was to let others in and to see that he is not here. He is risen as he said. And just as the empty tomb testified of Christ's resurrection, so the linen clothes and the napkins, they also testify of Christ's resurrection. What you have here, again, is the Lord using a spiritual object here to teach a spiritual truth. The fact that by looking at these clothes in the tomb, it was to show his body was not stolen. It was not taken away, but rather he had risen from the dead. And that's what we want to look at today as we think of Christ's linen clothes and the napkin. Notice, first of all, the placement of Christ's linen clothes and the napkin. When John and Peter entered into Christ's tomb, they viewed the very spot, the place where Christ's body would have lain. They looked at the exact location of the linen clothes and the napkin. Remember the message in Matthew 28, verse 6 from the angel, come, see the place where the Lord lay. The linen clothes that were wrapped round about Christ were undisturbed. The napkin that was round his face was wrapped together, as scripture says. We read it, in a place by itself. Whenever Joseph and Nicodemus prepared Christ's body for burial, they wound, Matthew 27, verse 59, his body. Really means they wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. The word wrapped means to roll up or to intertwine. The idea is that this would be wrapped tight, loose, nothing loose, but completely bound together. Just like maybe as we do here on the toddler group, after we put the stuff away, you have one of the long bits of carpet, we wrap it up tight. And so here, as Christ's body was wrapped in this linen clothes, It was wrapped tight. It was bound together. And yet, we look here, whenever they look into the tomb, the linen clothes are positioned in such a way and wrapped together in such a way as if the body was still there, yet there is no body. And the answer must be this, that Christ passed through those clothes and the napkin, just as he did in John chapter 20, verse 19, whenever the disciples had locked themselves in the room, they had barred the door that no one would come in. Yet Christ came through that door and stood in their midst. And so this is a lesson, an object lesson for them to look and to see that the clothes are undisturbed. The clothes are in such a way to teach them that his body has not been stolen. It's not been taken away. Rather, he has risen. Peter and John, they needed to look at the linen clothes. They needed to look at the napkin and to learn the truth of Christ's resurrection. For verse 9 states, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise from the dead. The word scripture in that verse means the Old Testament, because the New Testament was not written yet. We have the complete canon of scripture before us, but they did not. The word knew means to understand, but here it's in the negative. They knew not, they understood not the scripture. They did not understand the Old Testament scripture. They couldn't connect the lessons together, showing that Christ must rise from the dead. You remember the same thing happened in Luke chapter 24 with the two on the road to Emmaus. What did the Lord say to them? O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Those great types, those pictures in the Old Testament that spoke of Christ's resurrection. Remember Genesis chapter 22, when Isaac went up to be offered as a sacrifice, yet Isaac returned back because another died in his place. Leviticus chapter 14, the bird that was dipped in blood was then released to soar the sky, again showing the birds that after Christ's desert death, the shedding of blood, he would rise from the dead. Again, Jonah coming forth from the fish's belly after 3 days. All these pictures were there to teach Christ's resurrection. Now today, we don't need to search for Christ's burial clothes or his napkin. Rather, we have the empty tomb. We can go to the tomb and say, and see, he is not there. He is risen. But even if the tomb was not found, or the tomb had been ruined by another earthquake, or as skeptics claim today, that it's the wrong tomb that people go to look at, we still have a sure word of prophecy. For we have the word of God to rest upon. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose again according to the scriptures. And therefore, John chapter 20, verse 31 teaches, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You can trust the word of God today for the accomplishment of Christ's death at the cross for your redemption, for the application of Christ's death by the Spirit for your regeneration, and the acceptance of Christ's death by the Father for your resurrection. You see, Christ died to accomplish redemption. And then by the Spirit of God, that accomplishment is then applied to the hearts of sinners. But to show what Christ did on the cross was accepted by God. God raised his Son from the dead for our justification. And so that's why the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He died. He went to the tomb. His body did not rot, to show his body was a sinless body. No sin, no corruption. And then he was raised again to show his work on the cross was accepted. And so here we have, as we think of Christ's linen clothes and the napkin, the placement of them. Peter and John, as they looked at the napkin, as they looked at the linen clothes, the place where the Lord had lain, it was to teach his body was not stolen. Rather, he is alive forevermore. Notice secondly, the perception of Christ's linen clothes and napkin. Now this is where it gets interesting here, and you can look at your Bible. When John and Peter entered Christ's empty tomb, they perceived with their own eyes, they looked at the linen clothes that had bound Christ and that napkin. However, their perception of how they viewed the linen clothes, what they seen, differed at first, and then after they believed the resurrection. At some point it actually then clicked in. You know what? He is alive. Hallelujah. I say that because you look at your Bible here. Now this is where the Greek, now I'm not standing as a Greek professor or a skilled person. Certainly I'm not. But these are things that are always drawn out when we come to these passages, that it will help you for those taking notes. And as well, you have my notes before you, as they send them out by email or on sermon audio. You can look at if it's any benefit to you. But verses 5, 6, and 8. You look there. You will see the words saw, seeth, and saw. Now, while in the English language, these all mean the same. It means to see. Yet each of those three words in the original Greek language are different. A different word. And they all have a different meaning. Verse 5. And he, that's John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. That word saw that you have in verse 5 is the Greek word blepo. Means to take a glance at something. It means to have a quick glance, just a quick look. You're just passing by, a quick look, and then go. He didn't go into the tomb at that stage. Quick look, and then went on. John arrived, and he said he took that quick look. So that's the first word, a quick look, quick glance. Verses 6 and 7, notice. Then cometh Simon Peter, so this is after John, following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth, there's another word, the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was round about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So here, verse 6, the word seeth is the word thereo. That means to scrutinize. It is to look with examination. This is not a quick glance, as John did. This is now to stop. This is now to examine. This is not to miss any detail. This is to have a careful look. This is to investigate. I'm actually looking at what I'm seeing here. I'm actually carefully noticing the clothes, the napkin. And Peter is doing that, not to miss any detail. Again, the parallel passage in Luke chapter 24, verse 12, states after Peter saw the linen clothes laid by themselves, he left the tomb, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So he's continually examining all the details, investigating, because there's a lesson there. This is not just there for the sake of it, or some rope that has no ending at the end of it all, a false trail. Rather, there's a tight knot. There's something, that an end result here that the Lord wants them to know. I am not stolen. I am not in a different tomb. I was buried in this tomb and I risen. And here is the significance of it all. So there we have the first word by John. It's just a quick glance. He goes out. Peter then comes in. He wants longer. He's investigating this. Every single detail he's taking note of. Then, after that, verse 8, then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. This word in verse 8, referring to John, is the word idu, if that's how it's rightly said, but it means to look with understanding. We might say, the light has come on. We may say, he grasps what has taken place. The first time John went in, a quick look. Peter walks in, investigates. Peter, let me in, I want to have another look now. Looks in. Ah, I get it now. He's alive, Peter. And that's what it means, those different words. And so they arrived at the conclusion, which was Jesus is risen. He is alive. He has not been taken away. As we said, he's not buried in another tomb as skeptics and false preachers put it out today. Rather, they concluded he is alive. Now, here's what I want you to get. Peter and John, why they came to the same conclusion, yet they came to the same conclusion at different speeds and at different times. In fact, and they came to the conclusion that Christ is risen. And isn't that the same for every believer here? While we have all arrived at the same conclusion, the same truth, according to Scripture, Christ is risen. Yet there's some of us that gets there faster than others. There are some it takes longer to process, to take in all the details. That may be down to maturity, age, or maybe other reasons. There are some who get all the details at first time and arrive at the right conclusion. There are others it takes a couple of times to go over the same information, but they still get to the right conclusion. And so the truth of the resurrection is not about how fast we process all the information. Rather, it's we believe Christ is risen. Christ is alive. Because if you take the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you look at all the disciples today, if they were in our church, you'd be saying, for church membership, I don't know about you, because they all doubted. You think of Thomas. He's alive. I don't think so. Thomas didn't believe. Thomas doubted. I want to see first. And we learn how the Lord came to him and Thomas believed. You think, as we said already, the two on the road to Emmaus. They are sad. Christ has died. But all these disciples, remember, they've all sat under the ministry of Christ for a number of years, and he's taught them time and time again. The Son of Man must suffer, and he will rise again in order to enter into heaven. But after he died, they completely forgot all this. And to them, he's dead. And so the two on the road to Emmaus, Christ says, oh, fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But again, after, when Christ spoke to them, it clicked, they got it. They realized, and their heart burned within them. He's alive. Again, Mary was anxious. In fact, whenever the Lord came, there was that anxious spirit. But she believed. Again, for Peter, as we've learned, it took some time to connect everything together. And then you read on from what the passage we've read on into the next chapter, in chapter 21, the Lord comes back again to Peter, again restating the truth. John, he got it the second time. First time, a quick glance, he went out, came back in again, straight away. Ha! I've got it. He's alive. And so, the point is this. They all came to the same conclusion, but it just took different times. And I said that's due to different reasons. But here's the truth. the resurrection is the gospel foundation. You cannot be saved if you deny and reject the gospel resurrection. One thing to doubt, one thing to arrive, take time, but to completely deny it and say he's not risen, he's not alive. There are some today who, with all the truth of the resurrection, you have got it. You know the scriptural record. You've heard the evidence. You've seen the pictures of the empty tomb. And you still reject it. And to reject Christ is alive, is to remain in your sin. Because you accept to refuse, you refuse to accept that Christ is risen, but you choose to believe he is dead. However, there's hope for the hopeless, and there is deliverance for the deniers. The gospel of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection sets sinners free. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See that? Thou shalt be saved by believing in his death, believing in his resurrection. Thou shalt be saved. Notice, finally, briefly, the proof of Christ's linen clothes and napkin. The linen clothes, the napkin, proved that all these other theories were all false. And it proved that Christ had risen. Remember, the reason for the tomb, the reason the tomb was sealed by the Roman guard, because Christ had taught he would rise from the dead. I remember, again, we're going through the tabernacle. I know we're getting all these pictures and all these different things. But again, remember, what did the Lord say? Bring this temple down, and I will raise it again. Now, they just couldn't get that picture. The temple here in Jerusalem, he's going to bring it down and raise it up again in 3 days. It took years to build it. They just didn't get it. But he was on about his body, his temple, that this body will rise again after 3 days. And so because of that, then Matthew 27, verse 64, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. We can't have this going around. So they put extra guards at the tomb. They put a seal on the tomb as well. But the scripture account bears witness that his disciples did not steal his body, but up from the grave he arose. Again, remember the burial process for Christ's body. His body was wrapped tight, bound together. So for anyone to steal the body, either they would have to remove the wrappings and then put them back in the same shape or form. And they would need to be quick, because they wouldn't have enough time to do all that they would want to do. This would have to be a quick job. Or else, if the body was stolen, then they would have to take the whole body itself and take the wrappings as well. And so we learn here that the disciples did not steal the body. These napkins, the linen clothes, they're there where Christ would have laid. They're undisturbed. It's just if a body was there, yet there's no body. They haven't been moved. They haven't been thrown about. He is alive. Again, from Matthew 27, verse 64 to 66, we learn, as we said, the soldiers and all the different things. Well, you can read the rest in the notes yourself. We'll go on. But the point is this here, that the tomb is empty. And the clothes were there to teach, to validate, that all these other theories that were going to go around and are going around even now, they're all false. Because Christ has risen. His body is not lost, stolen. It's not in another tomb still waiting to be found. Rather, he is risen in the power of an endless life. God was satisfied with the sinless offering that Christ offered for the sins of all his people. And based on his perfect sacrifice, God raised him from the dead to confirm his work was finished. Again, in closing, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, let me make this point. Christ's resurrection did not make him the Son of God, nor did he become the Son of God by his resurrection. There never has been a time when he was not the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Rather, the words mean, by his resurrection, what he claimed to be, who he claimed to be, the Son of God, it was verified. Everything he said, his death, his burial, his resurrection, came to pass, fulfilling Scripture as he said, to show that I am alive. It puts all doubts, puts all deniers out. As we said, all these theories going around today, don't let them trouble you. Are you sure it's the right tomb? There is another tomb, you know. And there's a group still looking for that tomb. One day we'll find it. Don't you worry. You hang in there. A lot of nonsense. Just get to the Word of God. He is alive. Sinners, trust in him for salvation, because only a living and arisen Savior is able to save. And believer, rejoice. As was sung today, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. And that ought to fill our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.